How could one argue with the isness of this moment once you realize that the entire cosmos is connected, interconnected? Everything in the cosmos is totally interconnected. Physicists know that. So nothing that happens is isolated, an isolated event. It is connected with the totality. And within the totality, it makes sense. In many, many cases, you could never work out through your understanding, mental understanding, how an event that on the surface looks senseless or looks as if it shouldn't be happening, you could never work out through intellectual understanding how the totality has brought this event about. Because no mind, no human mind can even understand a fragment of the totality. It would be presumptuous to an absurd degree to believe that through the human mind you could understand the totality of the universe. And then explain it through words, using five vowel sounds. A, I, E, O, U. Five sounds are the basic sounds. And then there are the others, I can't remember what they're called, consonants, I think. They are sounds that are produced through air pressure, produced by... So you have the five vowel sounds plus a few noises produced through air pressure. And we believe that we could explain something. The universe... So it is how you see how useful it is to give up trying to understand. But what we can see, and this is confirmed not only by the ancient wisdom traditions of humanity such as Buddhism, but also even through recent discoveries in molecular atomic physics, the interconnectedness of all things, that we can know. Yes, we don't know how, we can't understand how, in what way, but we can see, yes, it all is ultimately one. The universe is one. It is one both at the unmanifested level, the primordial one, the unconditioned one, the unborn, as the Buddha called it, the unborn, the uncreated, the unmanifested. Beautiful saying of the Buddha, he said, there is, O monks, that's how the translation goes, there is, O monks, the uncreated, the unborn, the unmanifested. If there were not the uncreated, the unborn, the unmanifested, there would be no escape from the born, the created, the manifested. So to... Yes, we can see it. The universe is one both as the unmanifested, obviously, and it is one as an organism, even in the manifested realm. It is one organism which has many different cells to it. One cell in the organism is humanity. Humanity also is one organism. And what humans are doing to each other is a diseased organism in many ways. So the universe is one organism. Whatever happens has its place within the totality, even if it seems completely incomprehensible. And many things do happen that say, why is this happening? And just to simply see what one could call the inevitability of what is within the context, the larger context of the whole, to see the inevitability of whatever form this moment takes in your life. Whatever happens, could not be otherwise. Oh. You do not need to understand it. Occasionally it happens that after an event you can get a glimpse of understanding, only a glimpse if you're lucky, tiny glimpse. Some of you may have experienced something seemingly negative and incomprehensible happening to you, life doing something to you, making you ill, serious illness, losing everything. Say, it doesn't make sense anymore. I went to church every Sunday and I worked my off and I lost it all. This wasn't supposed to happen. I don't understand anymore. And years later, you sit in the Inner Directions Conference and suddenly you say, wow, if that hadn't happened, of course I wouldn't be here. I would still be slaving away in the corporate office. If those bad things hadn't happened to me, I would never have gone beyond the conditioning. So occasionally you might get a glimpse, but in many other cases you may not get a glimpse of why. But it is wonderful to see that yes, there is an inevitability to whatever form this moment takes. And so if you do not resist the form that this moment takes internally, you are no longer trapped or imprisoned by the form that this moment takes. Because very often that's what it looks like. That's why people always try to get away from this moment. It's very often it looks like a limitation upon you, upon your life. That's not what I want. What am I doing sitting here in this office, in this place, in this relationship, in this, that, the other? Whatever form this moment takes, to align yourself with it. The moment you do that, and it's not a doing, only through language it creates the illusion that you're doing something. It's, one could say it's the opposite of any doing. To internally align yourself with what is the opposite of, okay, I have to do something. You don't have to do anything, just this is as it is, always. Recognize that. There's no doing involved. This, it is as it is. You align yourself with the form that, you don't fight the form. The moment you fight the form of me gets strengthened in yourself. The me that is based on my thought forms gets stronger through the struggle, the reaction, the reactivity against what is. Ultimately, you could say the illusion of me gets strengthened through fighting what is. And you can verify that in your own life when you are resisting whatever a situation or in disagreement with someone. This shouldn't be reactivity. To see how your sense of self feels a little bit inflated through that. And you can see it when you watch angry people who are fighting. There are some people who live almost continuously in angry opposition to what is. The entire universe is against them, or they are against it. The world is their enemy. And they're just looking for the next thing to get upset about. And you can see how that strengthens, how that inflates the egoic sense of self, the reactivity, the fighting, what is, the complaining pattern in the mind, and every time you complain, you strengthen a little bit the form identity of me, the complainer, the thought form, the reaction. In the egoic identity inflates a little bit through the complaint, because every complaint means that you are right and what you're complaining about is wrong. Situation, a person, a place. You are superior to that which you are complaining about. That is the illusion, how the illusory self-entity inflates itself continuously through that. It doesn't never last for long, and they need something else. But once you watch that process in yourself or in another, it's a little bit easier to see it in somebody else. How the self-importance grows through every complaint. The imagined superiority of me as compared to that which you are complaining about. And some people complain about the world. Of course, it's a mad place, but complaining doesn't help very much. They complain about humans, people. People are so unconscious. God, what? You should know better. But they don't. So to see how that fighting what is strengthens the thought made me. And accepting what is, allowing it, surrendering to this moment, the form that this moment takes, that's all that ever changes. This moment never changes. It's always now. Saying yes to the form doesn't mean you can't take action. If action is needed, it comes out of the yes instead out of the no. Totally different quality of action that comes out of saying, well, this is how it is. Here I am, 2 coins in my pocket, wet, not much food in the stomach. That's it. That's what is at this moment. Okay. And you go beyond the form of this moment, and there is suddenly a peace from deep within. And there's a beauty even to that moment, the form of that moment. But the beauty may not be in the form, but it comes from a deeper place of the formless life that you are, the very life that you are, underneath the form as which you appear. You know it, not through rejecting the forms, but through accepting the forms. So the magic formula then is, but it doesn't work if it remains a thought form. The forms that seem to limit you in your life are the concealed openings into the formless. The conditions that seem to limit you are the portals into the unconditioned. That which you are in your essence. And some people have experienced extreme forms of limitation in their life, physical, material, physical through the body not working properly anymore, physical limitations, prison camp, some other awful limitation. And some people have experienced, have realized, when they let go of resistance to this moment, even in the most dreadful situations, the most dreadful limitations, they suddenly realized the formless space that they are. Peace. So if you can look upon your life and see, where is it that life seems to limit you? What is the area where you feel hemmed in by life, the forms in your life situation? It could be relationships, it could be a place where you live, the people you live with, the physical structures around you, the house, or the work situation, whatever it may be. And so almost everybody experiences some form of limitation in their life, some form of limitation, and see if there, and then you might notice also that you are in an almost habitual resistance to those limitations, those forms in your life. And see what happens if you let go of the resistance to what is. Use that and see what happens if you let go of the no to this moment. You may be surprised how quickly things change, how quickly the stuckness gets unstuck when you surrender. And some of you have experienced it already in certain areas of your life. How quickly you become free of the conditioned, not by trying to reach some point of the unconditioned in the future, the limitless, but by not offering inner resistance to the conditioned. With that deep acceptance of what is, comes what a word that I usually avoid, because it can easily become a thought form and it is so been misused so much. With acceptance of what is comes love. You love what is. That goes, we don't even need to say love. It's there when you, there's an allowing of whatever form this moment takes. Love arises. So the secret is not to turn your back upon the limitations and trying to reach some point in the future where you realize yourself as unlimited. Once you've sorted out your life situation, it's never going to happen. Not for long. Then some new things, something else crops up. Instead of looking for some liberation at a future moment, the more limited you are in your life situation, there are degrees of limitation. Very limited, for example, would be if your body may not make it for that much longer anymore. They might have said you may have 2 months, two more months. You may be limited in other areas. You may be listening to this on a tape and find yourself in a prison cell. Those extreme limitations are the most powerful openings, the most powerful openings into presence, into space. When you surrender to that, and so it happens in some people's lives, there is one big thing, one, what used, Christians used to call, or still do, the your cross. One big thing in your life that is a dreadful burden or seems a dreadful limitation. Most of you have many little things. That's fine too. That works too. But the one big thing works even better. If you're lucky enough to want to have one big thing in your life that's, oh, absolutely unacceptable. Nobody could accept that. Well, that's what the mind says. And then surrender happens. For many of you, it will be a case of little surrenders. Even today, as you leave here, there may be an opportunity for a little surrender in some situation. What is a little surrender? What is surrender? It's the shift from no to yes. Surrender is detecting an inner no to what is, and then saying, aha, there it goes. And then to see, well, but it is. And then you look upon what is. Acceptance means it's not judged anymore. It's allowed to be. And there's a field of attention. There's your prison cell, which you've been extremely unhappy about for the past 10 years, and even more unhappy because you know you have another 15 years to go. And then you listen to the tape. And then you sit there and you look upon the walls that surround you and maybe a little window with bars on and an uncomfortable place that you sit on. And there's light shining perhaps through the window. Oh yes, and your body is alive. It feels alive. Every cell is alive. And yes, even the wall has aliveness to it. Why didn't I see that before? Because I was looking at the wall through a screen of mental concepts. Why couldn't I feel the aliveness that is in every cell of my body before? Because I was preoccupied with the thoughts in my mind, mindful objects in my consciousness. One after another, all saying, this is dreadful and unacceptable, this is what my life has come to. This is what the world has done to me. Just telling yourself the story in your head again and again and again, so you couldn't feel the aliveness, you couldn't see the light, and you couldn't sense the stillness and the peace that were always there as inseparable from spacious awareness. The essence of your being was always there, never knew it. And this is how surrender to one big thing can take you where once and for all. Surrender is no more than surrender to this moment as it is. No other spiritual practice is required, but if you're happy with other spiritual practices, that's fine too. But every spiritual practice ultimately points to that. So why not do it now? What beauty in welcoming the only thing there ever is, which is now. What beauty in welcoming the form that this now takes, whatever the form may be. Oh. And realize yourself as that which is deeper than any form. Stillness, peace, space. Not that which happens, but the space in which it happens. That's who you are. And so, when you look at night into space, the vastness of outer space, vast, infinite, infinite depth, that's the external version of who you are. And then you also notice when you look there, you see, oh, well, it's so simple. There are basically two things in this world, space and things in space. It's as simple as that. The world consists of space and things in space, or rather, things in space are the world. Let's change it slightly. Things in space are the world, and space is that which goes beyond anything that words could say. But it's so obvious, even if you look through the senses, that there's basically even this room. There are things, bodies, chairs, flowers, lights, and there's space. The space usually nobody notices. And usually nobody notices the inner space, the stillness that is underneath the noise, the incredible spaciousness that is there within you. So you are the bridge between the object world and the formless, unconditioned, the One. And you move through this world, interacting with form still. Your body is form too. Thoughts still happen occasionally. You interact with other forms, and the play of forms continues all around you, and you are rooted in the formless, which is peace. And the world is then the play of forms around you, so to speak. And nothing in the world of form matters that much anymore. And it's only then that, and this is almost a paradox, something that is not of this world, which is the world of objects, something that is not of this world shines through this form into this world. The formless, a certain transparency happens through surrender to what is. A certain transparency happens, and so the unconditioned shines through into the world of form, and the world of form then is experienced as a more benign place when that comes through you, and it transforms how you experience the world of form also. Not that the world of form will lose its characteristics of having polarities. It has polarities. The world of form will always have certain polarities, otherwise forms could not survive, high, low, hot, cold. But the manifestation of the polarities of the world of form will become more benign, not the harshness. So one could say love comes into this world, and love is not of this world. That's how the world changes. Not that it matters that much anymore, whether or not it changes. And you certainly, as you surrender to what is, you relinquish the need for the world to change. And then it changes. And that includes the need for your world to change, your situation. It must change. Well, first accept what is, and then see what happens. Thank you.